Hey, welcome to The Look Back, my pandemic podcast, or hopefully post-pandemic podcast, broadcasting here from the basement of Newman Media Studios. My name is Keith Newman, and I'm the host of The Look Back. And this is a place where we have some fun conversations with old friends, a few newsmakers, and some rule breakers, all in the name of sharing insights and experiences along with a little bit of levity and fun. I hope you enjoy the conversation, and if you're so inclined, or perhaps even open to some bribery, you'll share this podcast with some friends who might also enjoy it. This episode is sponsored by Estrella, the blockchain-powered cap table and shareholder management platform that allows executives to manage and leverage their company's equity as a recruitment and retention tool, as well as a resource to enhance company culture. Estrella meets all of your shareholder management needs, along with the highest level of customer service and at the best price. Ask to speak with an equity expert or get a demo today of Estrella at Estrella, Estrella.com. Let's go on to the show.
Hey, look who I have, my old friend from the way back. Ted Schlein, who is currently with Ballistic Ventures. Is that right, Ted? Am I saying it correctly?
You got it, Keith. It is Ballistic Ventures.
And Ballistic Ventures. Well, let's just jump right in, man. Instead of covering all the ancient stuff, where is Ballistic Ventures in terms of geography, focus? What are you trying to do with this new vessel?
The worldwide headquarters of Ballistic Ventures is in San Mateo, California.
Awesome.
I asked a bunch of folks from the cybersecurity world that I've known for they wanted to do an early stage cybersecurity fund to focus on some of the most pressing needs we have in the world of security for individuals, nations, corporations, et cetera. And they said, yes. They said, let's go do it. So we raised Ballistic Ventures, the first fund. It's at least 18 months ago. It's a $300 million fund.
Nice.
We have, I think, 14 investments in it now. As I said, it's early stage, first money in, work with some of the greatest entrepreneurs in the country. And you get some great cybersecurity operators on board.
And what's with this bellicose name, Ballistic, Ted? How did that come about?
Oh, it's about impact, trajectory, and speed.
It's unique.
Does that sound like a great answer to your question, Keith? It turns out a good friend of the firm had the URL.
Well, I love the deep dark
domain. I think it's a pretty cool name for
I do too. It works, and look, it sets an agenda, and I know your operating style somewhat too. So there you go.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting. You and I go way back to Symantec days, I think. So it's so funny when you were an operator. So that was in the long distance days, but that was security. Was that your first software/security effort?
Yeah, well, I did Symantec right out of college. Right. So I joined them. There's maybe 30, 40 people at Symantec. And if you really want to do a history lesson, Symantec was really started to be a flat file database and word processing company, product called Q&A. But while they're building that and getting that going, I worked on some other products and I had the only Macintosh at, this is why you and I knew each other, Keith.
I had
the only Macintosh at Symantec, truly the only Macintosh at Symantec, and I came up with a product idea to do a Macintosh version of the Norton utilities. This is well before Symantec ever bought Norton, and designed and brought to market a product called SUM, or Symantec Utilities for the Macintosh. And that was the first compendium of utilities for the Mac, and that did really well. So the CEO, Gordon Eubanks, sort of said, well, Ted, you got any other ideas? And I said, well, yeah, I think this virus stuff is going to matter. Yeah, I remember this is before local area networks really took off. So and so I just had to convince them that that viruses were going to matter, and there weren't that many of them in the world. And I said, I want to design and bring to market the very first commercial antivirus software, because McAfee already had like shareware out there. Right. And so that's what we did. I worked with a great developer. His name is Paul Koza, but he developed it and I designed it and we brought it to market. It was called SAM, Symantec Antivirus.
The Macworld, I think it was Boston, and we jumped into a van with 30 people and off we went.
There you go. And so anyway, that was my first security software, was doing all that into antivirus stuff at the very beginning.
Look at the impact that's had. I mean, Symantec turned into that, you know, as its whole being.
I noticed.
Okay. So subsequent to that, you took a little dalliance over to this little firm in the VC world called Kleiner Perkins. Maybe people still remember it. No, just joking. I mean, the legendary Kleiner Perkins. How did that transition happen? And I want to review that with you a little bit.
Well, Symantec was backed by Kleiner Perkins. So sitting on the board was John Doerr and another old Kleiner Perkins partner named Jim Lally. It actually had two partners on the board. Wow. And so I got to know John and Jim just from having to present to the board from time to time. And also the person that hired me into Symantec was Tom Byers. Do you remember the name of the firm? It's called Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers.
Right.
So Tom's brother, Brooke, I also knew just through Tom. Right. And so I knew some of the partners, and they were starting a fund called the Java Fund back in 1996.
Yes, I remember around Sun ecosystem.
Correct. So Sun had developed the Java programming language, and they wanted a way to get that. They wanted the development world to start using Java. And so they asked Kleiner Perkins, would you start a fund with us,
yes,
developers to use it? And Doug McKenzie, who is in the partner at Kleiner Perkins, came over to me and said, Ted, would you leave Symantec and come run the Java fund for us at Kleiner Perkins? And I viewed that as an IQ test. I said, yeah, let's do it. So that's how I jumped over to becoming a venture capitalist, and I ran the Java fund. It was here.
What a neat thing. I remember back in that day as well. So how did that fund do, Ted? And how did that lead you back over to your hallmark of security software and security tech?
Well, the fund did pretty well, Keith. That's why I was here for 26 years. it kind of worked out.
But look, it could have been a major stumble, and then they threw you into back into Symantec and security.
Yeah. So it had, you know, Java took off. It had the Java fund had very good returns, and yeah. I just became a general partner in the main funds, and had been here for 26 years really before starting Ballistic.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, the legendary John Doerr, I mean, working under him and with alongside of him for so many years, and Randy Komisar and some other just really cool, interesting people, thought leaders. I think you're in great company and obviously have done a lot of great stuff. When you look back at your KP run of, like you said, a short, quarter century, that probably felt pretty quick, actually, in hindsight. What are some of the things you look back on and are most proud of?
This is where you learn the craft, right? And I had some of the greatest teachers in the history of this industry to learn from. Venture is really hard. It's hard to do well. How about that? So to get the lessons from the various folks that I've had the opportunity to study under here.
Right.
Really has just been the best, and to learn how to do venture, how to do it right, and work with the entrepreneurs to help them realize their dreams and everything. It's you because you live vicariously through your entrepreneurs, right? You're no longer an operator. When people always ask, what's the difference between an operator and a venture capitalist? Well, as an operator, you can be successful via your authority, right? you can ask everyone on your team what they want to do, but eventually you make a decision. That's what they got to do. And how well you, how many good decisions you make determines whether you keep your job or not, right? So as a venture capitalist, you have to be successful via influence. You got to influence your partners. You got to influence the entrepreneur, right? You don't control anything. Yeah. And it's just different skills to learn and how you hone those skills and you get better and better at it, and how you hone them as to who, you know, which entrepreneurs to work with. And it's, you know, we like to talk about pattern matching and how to help that entrepreneur avoid the same mistakes you already made. And there's just so many different skills you learn along the way in honing a craft. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate I got to learn from some of the best in the industry.
That's so true. And I'm sure you built up this whole body of knowledge now that helps you really evaluate companies and entrepreneurs and who's going to be successful. But even then, the odds are still challenging to get to the, you know, the promised land or the exit or some kind of successful outcome. But what are some things you can share, Ted, that's helped you pick the right companies, the right people who you want to, you know, invest in and partner with?
Yeah, well, this is where I think it certainly is helpful to focus on an industry segment, you know, quite honestly, because at the end of the day, you're evaluating markets and you're evaluating people, right? So the best way to evaluate markets is to truly understand the market, I think, level of depth. And so, I've done, you know, somebody asked me the other day, how many boards have I sat on? I think I've sat on 54 boards in my career. Those are just commercial boards for venture capital purposes. And so, you know, I haven't done 54 cybersecurity companies. So you know, you end up working on lots of different kinds of consumer companies, enterprise software companies, cybersecurity companies, et cetera. And you're constantly trying to figure out what's going to make that entrepreneur tick. I always like liken it to every company is like a puzzle, and I like to do puzzles. How do you make this one fit together and work versus a different one? It's very hard to just apply the same method per company. Each one's a little differently. Which metrics matter? How you get those instilled? So recognizing that, and recognizing these companies are started by people. So you got to really be a student of the people. And get to know them and what's going to make them shine. And your goal is to help them achieve their goals, yet always maintain a level of impartiality. And one of the hardest things to do as a board member, as a venture capitalist, as a board member, is to make the decision that somebody's not right for the next stage in the company building. Hard decision to make, but you got to be willing to do that. That's, ultimately what you're trying to do is hone who have the right people at this stage of the company to take it to the next level or not. By focusing on cyber now, especially at Ballistic, is, you know, we get to start every conversation halfway through. It's not like we spend a lot of time sort of educating each other about the world of cybersecurity and everything. It's all about, well, who's the person? What problem are they solving? What's their opportunity to execute on that? And I think that's really helpful. For me personally, look, I spent a lot of my time understanding adversaries and understanding what bad guys are going to be doing and try and see if I could build detection systems and protection systems before others see it and get in the market and do it early, as early as possible. And I've always liked that part of the challenge, if you will, is, you know, trying to be right about.
That's fascinating. You know, as long as I've been in the business, which is about as long as you too, it's kind of amazing that it's always been the year of something. Well, this has been the quarter century of security in technology, at least, right? Because it's never been a down market. There's always a new wrinkle and a new challenge, and that opens up a new field for you to explore, whether it's crypto and Bitcoin and social media and the high-end enterprise stuff that, you know, the counter surveillance things that are being done at a super high level. It feels like it's just evergreen.
So yeah, people ask us, Ted, you've been doing the cyber stuff for 36 years. Why do you keep doing it? And
don't you want to do a little kids puzzle toy company or something?
Yeah, look, adversaries have gotten smarter. They're well-funded. Nation states are now involved in the problems. So the attacks and the attack vectors just get more populated and more sophisticated, which means you need different kinds of protections on all bases. That rat race is never going to slow down. And no major corporation wants to be less secure. So the security budgets, while they might not always grow, they don't tend to get cut during different times, right? So there's money being paid. And now overlay that with boards of directors of major corporations are now dealing with the problem, right? Before no one asked me to come talk to a Fortune 500 company 10 years ago to their boards. Now you get asked all the time to come in and be the outside person and tell us about the trends in cybersecurity. It's like, really? And now you're going to see boards of directors having cybersecurity expertise on their boards. They're going to need it. So
I would double click on that. I've seen that already. And it's a pretty telling fact, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And yes,
held accountable to anything that gets hacked into their system, whether it's the technology or personal records or professional business records.
Well, there's now new breach notification laws. So that when a company gets breached, who they notify, how, because the SEC's got their own set of rules. And then the FTC has its own set of rules. Every company is constantly bombarded. And that doesn't count the class action lawsuit that you'll get as well when you've been breached. So my point is corporate boards are very attuned to this issue. CEOs of major corporations are very attuned. It's another reason why this isn't going to go away. Now, play that with us wonderful technologists out here, and we create generative AI, and we now can democratize the ability to attack. So nothing's slowing down. Nothing. There's not an aspect of security that's slowing down. It's getting exacerbating. It's propagating quickly, and the threats are very real, and have to be dealt with.
How do you balance the question of business versus government? You're a U.S. citizen, but you work with the world. But then the world becomes our enemy in certain places, too. How do you provide services to those in those worlds that are enemy? I know it's kind of an obscure question, but one you probably faced a bunch.
Yeah, look, I firmly believe most people are good. So,
that's your first mistake. I thought
there's bad elements all over the place, right? You can pick and choose who you want to sell to. You know, it's always your choice. You want to sell to your allies, you sell to etc. Different places, and then there's certain parts of the world that I think it's very difficult to sell to. And those of us that do a lot of security companies, help make some of those choices. And you do your best to curtail the delivery of technology to some of those places. I do spend a lot of time with a lot of federal agencies as well. So I'm kind of steeped in both sides of this equation. So.
I imagine you are. So I'm really convinced that your job is really not that hard. You're in an industry that's just growing, and it's sort of everybody's doing well, and it's easy to pick these winners. Ted, you picked the easiest job possible.
Yeah, that's right, Keith. This is pretty easy. It's a dime a dozen. I'm just going to throw a dart at the dartboard here. Another home run.
Who needs money? Who needs money?
All right. It's very challenging. Look, the market is noisy.
Yeah.
Think about being a CISO at a major corporation. You know, since you and I probably started this conversation, another 10 companies, cybersecurity companies, have been started, right?
Let's dig into that just a second. I don't want to go too deep, but you're right. So there's 1,000 software companies trying to sell that one chief security officer, and you've got to compel them to say, hey, my product's the best, but they don't even have time to talk to you, much less do a technical evaluation, a business analysis, and get a deal done with government security requirements and everything else. So it is a tough business.
It's hard. You got to differentiate the product. You got to make sure you got the right leader in place. And then you got the product's got to work. It's got to do what you said it's going to do. It's got to solve a hard enough problem. It's got to be a problem that's timely. Meaning that, is this a problem that the CISO wants to solve today? Their hair is on fire. They got lots of problems to deal with. And then, as you pointed out, it's just a very noisy market. So you got to get all that to line up. So, execution, ideas are cheap. Execution is everything. So how well these companies end up coming together to execute is always a big deal. And our role as an investor and a board member is to help them recruit teams. And I always like to say, share all my scar tissue. Being at this a long time, I made lots of mistakes. So how do I help them make new mistakes?
Is that a new company, sharing scar tissue? We have to talk to the biotech about it. But back to ballistic for a second, what's the criteria then? Let's give me a little sense of, first check, last check. Are you board seat, enterprise, consumer? What's that look like?
So we are first money in. We're all early stage folks. We like to be involved in the company building side. Now, when you do a venture firm, you always break your own rules. Are there a few companies in the portfolio that aren't first money? Yeah, there are. We'll be right there with the entrepreneur at the very beginning. We like the ideation part of it all. Can't really be early enough for us. And then we get involved to help you build your team and scale your company. Think about some of the partners of Ballistic. I got Kevin Mandia, myself, Barmak Mefta, Jake Sade, Roger Thornton. We know almost every CISO in the entire industry, truly. Anyone else that's associated with the world of cybersecurity. Yeah. We bring that whole network to bear for you, the entrepreneur, so you can get above that noise level. So you can compete. I always like to sort of say our job as venture capitalists and board members is to give you completely competitive unfair advantages. And that's the goal. And that's what we're trying to do.
That's a pretty good, what I would call, living room pitch. You know what I mean? To close the deal.
Hey, I've been doing it a little while.
Yeah. You worked it. Good job. Because I have a thing called The Look Back is the name of this pod. I mean, the fun thing for you has been, look at all these investments I've done. And some of them have just gone to the moon. And some of them, well, I forget who they are. But I mean, in all honesty, you've had an amazing track record, but there was always that one or two that you chose that maybe people doubted, or maybe even you doubted, or, it was a gut feel and then it actually worked out, or it actually went way beyond that expectation. As I'm describing this, Ted, what company or two comes to mind? And,
One of the bigger ones where people didn't see it at the time, I would sort of say, was the SIM market. Security incident and event market, and backed a company called ArcSight back then, which turned out to be the largest of these ways. But I had conversations with some of the most notable people in the security world, as well as some of my partners, even going, Ted, this is just not interesting. This is not going to matter or amount to a whole lot. It's not that big of a marketplace. And you're wrong. We're creating so much noise in the cybersecurity world that somebody's going to have to aggregate, and make sense out of all these security alerts and et cetera. And that one turned out that was actually one of the only public companies who went public that year in Silicon Valley. I remember that was 2002 or 2003, it was 2001, maybe somewhere around there. And then eventually got bought by HP. But that was kind of one that jumps to mind where there were a bunch of doubters. And then, Keith, one of the fun things that I like doing, and I've done it here at Kleiner Perkins and doing it also at Ballistic, is somebody doesn't quite see it yet, a problem. And so we just start the company from whole cloth. And so way back in the early 2000s, I did a company called Fortify Software, because no one ever thought to use what's called static code analysis to find security vulnerabilities in source code. I wanted to find it in source code. And so Roger Thornton, who's one of my partners here at Ballistic, and I co-founded this company called Fortify Software to go do this because no one else was doing it.
Yep.
That's cool. It's fun. It's cool. And now doing code analysis, It's a huge industry. Like, it, you know, so maybe I could argue 4 to 5 is too early, but, you know, it ended up doing just fine. Got bought by HP, et cetera, and everything. But we're doing some of that at Ballistic now, too. There's certain problems that we're not seeing entrepreneurs work on yet. And so Roger and I have just, you know, started companies to go, you know, go do that within the Ballistic framework. So
do you find an entrepreneur to join you as like an EIR to come in, or is that something you guys will just roll up your sleeves and start building something?
We'll just do it to start with. We'll recruit the development team. You know, initially you need a development team, right? So you do that. And eventually then, you know, we replace it with actually real managers.
You go grow the company. You probably have those kinds of relationships too, the guys that can do some dev or design or engineering work at the ready that know you.
I think it's really helpful having been in this industry for a really long time. There's just so many amazingly talented folks out there that want to do something innovative and new and join up with it. And my partners have some great reputations. So I think it's been pretty good to attract them.
I think I'm really enjoying the chat, Ted. When you look at that investment of finding that right company or that right person, are you looking more at that individual or more the concept and the ability to execute that?
Yes. Okay. You got to evaluate the whole, and you got to find that person that has the vision, but doesn't get so bogged down with vision that they can't freaking hire and fire people, like, you know, and build something. Like, you have to get that merger of the ability to execute with the strategy. And they got to have the whole package. And ultimately, as you know, your CEO, your founder is your chief salesperson. They got to be great at selling, always. Because they're selling new employees, they're selling customers, they're selling investors, they're always selling. They have to have that gift of communication and passion to get people to follow. Again, being at Kleiner Perkins Loans, I've seen some of the greatest entrepreneurs in our lives, you know, come through these offices with that passion and that ability to sell and bring people along, because these are not solo journeys. These are journeys that get accomplished by teams.
Yeah.
And so you got to be a great team builder to do that.
I so agree. Thanks for sharing that. What about our current environment right now? We've seen it. We've seen all kinds of challenges, right, with the startup bank of SVB and some other things in the banking industry, but also just the challenges of finding exits. M&A's down, IPOs are way down. What's your forecast? How are we looking? And I'm asking you to put on your economics hat more than your security hat.
Again, I think this is where one of the few times it's helpful to be old. You know, we've seen lots of cycles. We just ran through an amazing cycle that lasted 10 years or something like that. So to have a down cycle, that's what always happens. You can't have an up cycle without a down cycle. So slow down, I don't think, is an issue. Honestly, it's one of the best times to be venture capitalist. You know, the pricing gets a little bit more rationalized, and you can invest. And so usually large returns are generated coming out of these slowdowns. So I think that's all fine. What does it mean? It means companies that shouldn't have access to capital have more trouble getting access to capital, which should mean that maybe companies that aren't as well put together will go away. I think that's healthy, kind of, quite honestly, for the industry. It's a shame that, you know, what happened to Silicon Valley Bank. You know, I'm not a banking regulator or anything, but, you know, it looks like there's some things there that should have been done differently. We'll miss them as an industry. Silicon Valley Bank was a great friend to the startup community. Now I think somebody will move in and come up with similar attitudes and product to Silicon Valley Bank to try and help the industry out again. But in the meantime, I do think capital will be tighter. You know, debt's not cheap anyway. Just because of interest rates, but you're not going to run operations at all off of debt anymore. You might end up taking more equity, or you might have more rational budgets. my God, go figure. Not spend as much.
Yes.
Which I think, you know, it's certainly where we're headed as well. Again, I don't think any of that's that unhealthy. I think it makes companies healthier and stronger ultimately. And those companies that have the ability to reach the public markets will. And a lot of the big companies have lots of capital on their balance sheets, so they can do acquisitions.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
It'll just settle out a little bit and then get going again, I think.
Yep.
Hey, Ted, I've really enjoyed our TED Talk. I want to transition to something much more important. No, seriously, when you think about finding a great company or finding a great season of grapes, where you take some beautiful vintage, what's more exciting for you these days?
Well, Keith, you know I have a vineyard, so I'm replanting my vineyard right now. So you know, ask me in about 6-7 years, and I think I'm going to have an amazing vintage. But it takes a little bit of time, as any great company takes. Keith, it takes time to ripen.
Is it Ballistic Vineyards?
No. It is not. I'm not going to take a perfectly good profitable business like Ballistic and mix it with not such a great profitable business like grown grapes.
Now, your wine that I hold right now, it's probably going to go up in value then, right?
Absolutely, Keith. Okay. It's huge, huge.
I'm worried about that for a second. No, that's wonderful. What else are you doing for fun and relaxation these days? You're obviously staying healthy and keeping a balance. What's your trick?
Well, I love trail running, so I do a lot of trail running. That's kind of my main exercise. About 4 years ago, I decided I was going to teach myself how to play guitar. So I took up the guitar. I from nothing, and now I enjoy playing. And I always like to tell people I always know what I'm playing. You might not, but I do.
Go grab your guitar and play us. No, never mind.
And then finally, Bruce Springsteen's touring again.
Yeah.
What else? You know, I've caught the show 3 times so far, and it's awesome. So, while he's still going, I want to see how many shows I can get to.
He makes me feel young still, too, which is amazing.
He's unbelievable. He's 73 years old. It's a 3-hour show. Never stops.
When is he coming to the Bay?
He's at Chase, I think, December 8th and 10th, I think.
He probably ends the tour around here then.
No, end in Jersey. Kidding me? I'm from New Jersey. He's going to end in Jersey. Trust me.
I hope I see you there. I'll try to get a tick myself. Hey, listen, thanks a ton for hanging out, catching up with me. It's great to see you. Tremendous success with Ballistic and everything else you're pursuing.
All right, Keith, thank you so much for having me. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for listening to The Look Back. We do appreciate your support. Welcome any feedback, and would love it if you would subscribe to this podcast and even consider sharing it with some of your friends. For more information and other cool info, check us out at newmanmediastudios.com.